It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between him.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhardt. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great right.
Turgeon to Hall, looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores! Get up, St. Louis. Get on your feet. They did it. It's over. The game is over. The series is over. The wait is over. And the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions for the first time in franchise history.
Hello, Blues fans, and welcome to a Friday edition. I guess we should call it a retro edition of your St. Louis Blues podcast, the Blues NHL podcast, coming to you from the SynergyHockeySkills.com studios. Our good friend Jamie Rivers and all the great work that he and his group do with all the fine young talent in the St. Louis area and surrounding areas, obviously. Appreciate all that they do for us. And, of course, our good friend Randy Green with InnovatedCompanies.com. Residential, commercial, industrial, InnovatedCompanies.com is the name you know and trust. Take care of Randy and give him an opportunity for your business, and I promise you he will do the same. Construction, heating and cooling, and electric, doesn't matter. They've got you covered. Randy and his wonderful daughter, Stephanie, do such a tremendous job that we couldn't recommend them anymore. Just 35 years experience, second-generation craftsman, and just all-around great human being. So give him an opportunity for your business. That's Randy Green with InnovatedCompanies.com. Should we go retro today, boys? Kimmy, can you take it on back to the 80s? Can you
screw that
early 90s? Screw that jersey. I mean, we didn't even get.
Hey, let's start the show off though, because
we didn't even get 5 minutes into this thing.
I want the fans to know.
Okay.
Ooh. Of our show, the very few that there are, that Chromes has got 103 degree temperature right now, but he heard how good Gary did last week or earlier this week, and he had to come in and do the job because he's scared now. And I love that.
I stand by my comment before we came on the air.
He's playing hurt.
I stand by my comment before I came on the air. Anytime somebody else wants to sit in this chair, go right ahead. I got a lot to do.
I'm sure a lot of people can sit in a chair.
You can only watch so many baseballs go by, big boy.
Right. I understand. No, listen.
Come on, let's go.
100% with you. I'd rather go watch some more.
Kimmy's got shit to say. Let's go.
So let's take it back a little bit here.
But on the other side, those jerseys suck. So.
Okay.
Man. They're not good.
Well, hang on a second. So the talk is nobody liked them then, but they were kind of cool last night. Can you go with that?
Well, when you win, everything's a little different.
I was going to say, yeah.
But see, I mine sort of went out the door when on Twitter I seen a picture of our partner here that, you know, he's big time now, Mr. Rivers. He can't even make it look good with that mug of his. So
that sort of you were having a little fun with that.
Yeah,
with him on there. You like to have a little fun with him. He likes to have a little fun with
you. He's
I'm not going to lie. Man. That freaking Buffalo picture was hilarious.
That is hilarious.
That was freaking
great. The Buffalo pictures are great, but the likeness between him and Al Bundy is pretty
good. Oh, my God, yeah. I forgot about that.
I mean, it's pretty good. It's good stuff. Okay, so before we go all retro.
Come on.
Before we go all retro here, pretty good game, eh?
Yeah, I think that was one of the better games they have played in a while. That sort of reminded me of their playoff run last year. They were always on the puck. The Saskatchewan boys were on it last night, man. The passes, they probably could have had 6-7 goals in the first period. The things were just clicking, man.
You like them Saskatchewan boys?
Yes, I do.
You?
Yes. So that was but you know, I like to listen to the announcers that they they're really working hard because they want to stay together. No, they fucking work hard all the time because they're professionals. That's why they do it. So
did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed?
I listen to certain shit and I go, come on, you know. But no, they were really going. Sunquist, you know, he's on fire right now. Thomas lighting it up. at center.
You think I was going to say, you think he wants to stay? He's playing harder because he wants to stay at center.
No,
it's not because he doesn't want to stay in the NHL.
He's more comfortable there. And you know what? You ride the wave because things are going good for the kid right now. He's seeing the ice well. You know, they're just playing good. There's, you know, when making passes behind your back and they're hitting, because sometimes those don't happen and they go the other way and they go in your net. And you know, it was a good game last night, and even with Petro playing as a fourth forward, he's up the ice all the time. He just goes and goes. It's crazy.
Well, I'd like to see what happens when Coach Kimby's players go throw backhand passes across the ice like that.
I bet he ain't saying,
hey, those are good passes.
But you can't. You know what though? Yeah, it's like I said on the show before. Like I said last week, it's hard to. When you have success on that kind of shit, it's hard to tell the person they did something wrong. You know what I mean? And that's why I said when they were winning, and it was going to be interesting to see how they come out against Tampa and how they come out last night against Calgary. It was going to be interesting because if Chief had got a hold of them and said, hey, we're doing these fucking things wrong, guys. We need to straighten up. And then, you know, Binnington had he had the goal posts on his side last night too. He had there's three posts and maybe a crossbar in the ball game, but it's
same on the other side though.
Yeah,
too.
Same on the other
Blues
side.
Hit
yeah.
three.
Yeah. But it was nice. That was the closest game that they've looked to when they went on their run.
A lot of shots by Calgary.
Yeah, but you're going to get that way, go Gary. In this kind of hockey, you know, Calgary's got some talent. It's not like you're playing a sloppy team there. But they outworked them last night. I thought
they were a little Calgary was a little sloppy at the blue line.
Yeah, real sloppy at the blue line.
So I love the fact that you brought up some of the passes and things. And Gary and I have actually talked about this at different times, especially with him being a coach now. But there's all kinds of things that go on today that didn't go on 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Like they're, you know, some outlet stuff and things like that. Things that are acceptable today that you just didn't do back in the day. And is it because they're more skilled? Is it because there's more depth? I have no idea what the thinking is, but I really think in the end it's it's kind of what you said. If a guy can do it and he can be effective at it and it works out, I would say not even more than it doesn't. It would have to be a large percentage of the time because you don't want pucks going the other way. But it seems like as certain players, skill-wise, can make certain things happen. And it's cross-ice passes and pucks that come up the middle versus out the boards all the time and things like that. That's what – I mean, we've talked about that before. You know, Jake Hennister used to say when we were younger, we'd talk about stuff, and he'd say, this pass is always open, but nobody ever wants to make it. And it was the cross from one side to the other coming from down low to up high and
hardest,
on power plays and things.
Pass in hockey.
Yep, but, you know,
dangerous hot pass.
Can you make it? And that's what he would say. The difference is who's making the pass and can you do it?
Yeah.
And I think that has a lot.
But you see, and I know where Gary's going with this, but when you're regular season and playoff hockey is a total different animal, you know. And so regular season, you're going to try more. You know, you're going to be able to get away with more stuff. And like at the blue lines, you know, you're in at the blue lines, out at the blue lines. That's the oldest saying in the book, but it's so true. And that's what, you know, what Gary says earlier, they were having trouble there. Yeah, they did. And when I talk about backhand passes, it was a great play last night. And, you know, Sanford hasn't been playing. You know, I've been sort of on his ass.
Sure.
Here. And not honest, but I'm just saying he's sort of on the lower end of the spectrum.
Well, maybe he listens to the show and he picked it up.
If there's a guy that's going to come in and out of the lineup, that was the guy that would be doing it. And then last night, you know, when he goes down and makes his move and gives it to Thomas. Thomas goes and throws the backhand pass to him. Like I tell my kids that when I'm coaching at high school in my AAA, if you're in the offensive zone, go stand in that one spot. If you're the high man, just go there. And so then they know you're there, and they can just throw that puck there. They don't even got to look. They can throw it there, and we'll take our chance on it if it's going to get a goal scoring, you know. So, but that was a beautiful goal. And so Sanford comes out. What do you have? Did you have 4 points last night, I think?
I think so.
But, you know.
It was a lot.
To see that last night, that line just clicked.
I mean, it's Sidney Crosby we're talking about here,
yeah.
So it was a lot.
But how often are you going to get that from him? You know, like Thomas, that's what you're going to expect from him in the future and many more years to come. But I didn't see that coming from him, Sanford. You know, but it worked last night. It's things were going their way on Sundquist's goal when the puck gets thrown out to the blue line and it bounces in his direction. He gets a breakaway. And, you know, Christ, they were hemmed in the zone. And I think they go to a pitcher when Berube's on the bench. And he sort of got a smile and he shook his head because they just been hemmed in their own zone for like a minute. And all of a sudden, the puck gets thrown out, and boom, they go down, they score a goal. And so things were going their way last night.
Yeah, but luck's a product of design, yeah. too, you know. And so, and I know you teach this, and I do too, but that puck that was bouncing and Sonny was able to go in on, 70 was going in on a breakaway. We teach that if the puck's bouncing, yeah. attack the player it's moving toward. You know, to go after that guy, put pressure even on the PK. Like, anytime that puck starts wobbling, go.
But he's also, the guy should also went down and try to protect
him. Absolutely.
You can't do it with your stick.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But,
yeah.
you know, it was a good read on Sonny. He saw yeah. the puck. He was going to have trouble handling the puck, and he took the right route, and good things happened. So, yeah, luck's product of design to me.
When you start having success in certain things in hockey, I guess sustained success will – try to say that a few times. That will blend itself to where you take it. So, it, like this whole Robert Thomas thing, moving back to center has been a product of some injuries and things like that. I think a lot of fans are going to ask this question, so I'll start with you, Kimmy, and then we'll get coach's thoughts here. But so it's obvious to me, and, you know, who the hell am I, but that Thomas – is much more comfortable at center, and it's probably a better fit, I think, in our lineup for the St. Louis Blues. Shouldn't be that hard.
Mm-hmm.
So other sports we talk about all the time, playing people out of position, it's one thing to do it out of necessity. It's another thing when something clearly makes more sense to do it this way. Now, you can only have so many centers, and I understand that, and it's also a two-way game and things like that, but I mean, is this that hard?
It, you know what? I'll tell you. Here's where I look at it, Cromes, and watching the game last night. And there's a lot of, you know, I'll praise Thomas big time. But I'm also gonna sit there and say, and I think this is a reason why they go to the wing. The young kids do, because center is the hardest position to play in your own zone. And the way the Blues are playing there, basically the centerman has to support down low. And if you watch the tape, and I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer on this play, but you know, you watch Thomas in his own zone. He gets caught snoozing a little bit. You know, he gets there's shit going on, and he's sort of out of position a couple times. Where if the Calgary would have made their play, they probably get a really good scoring chance out of it. And so if you could stick a kid, especially you know, coming out of juniors or whatever, even though he was he's as good a player as he is, it's easier to get him on the wing where they can sort of hide him a little bit and put him with a Bozat or someone that's an experienced player. They can throw him down there, or Sundquist, whoever they want to put at center, because they're going to be more reliable in their own zone. And I just noticed that last night, because Thomas played a hell of a game, but defensively he still gets running around a little bit. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. He's a young kid, so he's going to learn from it, and he hasn't probably played the position in a while. So, but going forward, offensively. Yeah, he looked like he'd been there a million years, and he looked just really good. But come playoff time, that's the coach that's behind the bench, and the reason the Blues won, you know, because the goaltending, they played great defense, and they were on the puck hard. So, but you got to be able to play defense in the playoffs, because if you're not there, sometimes it only takes one goal, and the fucking game's over. You know what I mean?
Very true. Yeah, as far as him at center, I think I agree with Kimby, and I'll say, and Rivs will disagree, it's the hardest position in hockey, center. Rivs will tell you goalie, but I don't, like I said Monday, I don't
most important position's goalie.
It's not like he doesn't know. Thomas has been a center his whole life. It's not like he doesn't know where he's supposed to be. The difference is the speed and the strength of the player is significant enough that they can get away from him. And because he's maybe not anticipating quickly enough because of the speed.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to be up. So he does have to elevate that part of his game, but there's a lot of promise in 18, whole lot of promise.
When you play center at junior and now you're playing it in the National Hockey League, guys in the National Hockey League can make those passes. Where in junior, if you're out of position, sometimes it's not going to be made.
Right.
So, yeah, you can get away with it in junior. But, you know, he's a young kid, so there's a process to go through. But you gotta be put in the situation if you're ever going to get better at it. And if that's where Berube and these guys want him to play in the future, is at center, then you're going to have to now, because of the injuries, would be a good time to throw him in the slot and see what he's doing. And if he's going to create offensive scoring chances like that, you might be able to give up a gaff here or so in your own zone. But it's I think that's the position that the kid needs to play in the future, I think.
Yeah. Well, want to ask you about a few more things here. Most notably, I'm curious to get some thoughts on the hit last night. The hit heard around the world,
beautiful
but
hit, especially number 29. I like the 29.
Yeah, it was good. But I have a thought on it, and I want to run it by you because I find it interesting. But before we do, we want to remind everybody to check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. We're going to ask you to subscribe to the show there. It takes about 30 seconds. It's free and all it does is make sure that you guys get it downloaded on your device and get a notification each time the show comes out. And it means a lot to us, and we would appreciate it. Follow us on our social media sites as well, at STL Blues Podcast on Twitter. If you guys would give us a follow there, we'd appreciate it. Find us on Facebook. Type in Blues NHL Podcast. We're going to ask you to like our page. And when you see the pin post, that's about 99% of the time going to be the latest episode. So if you'll like it, comment on it, and share it, that helps us reach out to more Blues fans. And a lot of you guys do that on a continuous basis, and we want to say thank you, of course. Find us on Instagram at Blues NHL Podcast, and, of course, as part of lineupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio, the streaming platform for your mobile device. We've got some great partners that we want to thank, of course. Adam Smokehouse, the best barbecue in St. Louis, and everybody in this room's opinion, of course. I do find it. Did you guys see the comment the other day on one of our posts that somebody went in and ordered the ribs, and the person behind the counter gave them a look like one of them? So I told them, I said, wait a minute. I said, this is obviously an inside joke between us. And I had to, you know, and they contacted me off the thing, and I said, well, it's a long story if you didn't hear the episode. And it's always good to tell that story. You know, you walk in, and Ribs orders his order, and you order, and you know, you pull your credit card out, and I'm going to buy the guy lunch for all he does for us. And he says, hey, you know what? I'll take a brisket to go. So anyway, but it's a good thing. But they're great people over there. They do a great job. And it is funny. He was telling me how many people come in and laugh about it. And we do appreciate the fact that you guys are supporting the people that support us. But go have some of the best barbecue in town. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. Big box lunch orders is their specialty. Catering, couldn't ask for a better situation there. And, of course, delivering to certain zip codes. But Mike and his staff do a tremendous job. And like I said, I know we're partial to some of the best barbecue in town, but it's Adam Smokehouse. St. Louis, here's your cue. Want to thank NelsonLandServices.com, 5-star locally rated landscaping company that does tremendous work at reasonable prices and big supporters of amateur hockey here in St. Louis. A wonderful family that just wants to use our outlet here to get their name out there in the community, but more importantly, support the amateur hockey community. And these two guys especially have great relationships with the Nelson family, and we want to thank them. So if you want to support us, please support them, as it takes people like that to help us keep the show on the air. And that's the Nelson family, NelsonLandServices.com. I want to talk about this hit, Kimby, and here's why. Number one, it was fabulous. And I did love the fact that somebody had made the comment. I can't remember who it was, but it was basically, you know, he put on a retro jersey and he took us back about 20 years and put some physical hockey back into it, which was great, I thought. But here's the thing, and this is what I love about it. I thought it was a great hit. I thought it was awesome. It was no different than 99% of the hits that people, and I love Blues fans, obviously, that when we bitch about when another team does it. I mean, he completely wasn't playing the puck. He lined him up. He made contact with his head. His feet came off the ice. It was awesome. And it was no different than Ovechkin's hit a few nights ago, and everybody was talking about it being a bullshit hit. It was awesome.
just the way it played out. And if you're watching it, and it's better when they replay it in slow-mo because you can see it coming, and you can
just, hey, the puck just goes right by him, and he doesn't even look at it. He's got him lined up.
The hit was wonderful, and I'm glad that's in, because that's the way the game's played. You know, the kid's looking at the puck, and boom, he gets lit up. But so then the guy comes in and protects his teammate, which I'm all good for. And it wasn't much of a thing. They just come in and grabbed him, and and then when Dunn got up, though, he looked like he was he couldn't understand what the hell went on. He was like, he was pissed that he got jumped by some guy or something.
No, I think he was mad because I think he, like, I was telling Gary, I think he, I think he laid him out really good, thought he hit him, and then when they jumped him, I think he knows he caught him in the head, and I don't think he was trying to line up his head, but I think in that split second he thought, shit. Now I'm gonna go to the committee.
I don't think so.
You don't think he gets a call?
I think he got hit, and I think he was sort of, he come out of there wondering why someone jumped his ass, and I think because it was a clean hit. I think it's
It was a great hit.
So, but he gets, and who knows what goes on under the pile? Or no, maybe someone grabbed his nuts or something. He didn't like it or something. The old wrestling move. But I don't know. But he come out of there and he was sort of, and he's right in front of the bench, and you know the whole Calgary bench has just got to be just giving it to him.
Oh yeah.
But he looked bewildered on there, and I'm going, what the hell's, but because that's you know, those
he's had some run-ins before, so he knows how it works.
That's good. That's how I took it. A good defenseman right there. You come through there and you catch that guy coming, trying to go to the middle is probably the stupidest thing you could ever do.
Especially as a hockey player.
It's just a bad move because usually back in the old day, it would be guy, and you could watch Scotty Stevens many times, but when you're coming down on the one side, it's obviously the opposite defenseman's the one that's going to get you because you're concentrating on trying to beat the guy going down that side. And then once you try to cut to the middle of the come crew, here comes that defenseman across. And it didn't happen like that in this situation because he catches him on his own side. But that reminded me of a Scotty Stevens hit right there, coming through awesome. With catching his guy down. Beautiful.
Awesome. But Gary texted, I said, oh, that'll be a game or two.
Shouldn't be.
No, I mean, but I guarantee you somebody looks at it.
Oh, for sure they are. But the guy, if you watch how the guy comes when he tries to cut, and when you try to cut or turn, you have to lower your body. Your legs have to lower so you can brace the turn when you're going into a turn, correct? So you're going to lower your thing, and that's got nothing on the gun done.
No. I want to make sure that you're understanding my point. My point is I agree with you 100%. The problem is, just because he's wearing a Blues jersey, when it happens the other way, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Like the thing that happened with Sonny the other night with the goaltender.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked to me like I think we all knew what he was trying to do. He was trying to make himself small between the goalie and the boards, and when he jumped, he caught him. Now, the problem is, if that happens to us, Blues fans go crazy, go, no, he wasn't. He clearly was not. He clearly jumped and made contact with our goalie. Sometimes you got to take the glasses off.
Well, right, but it's not like, you know, like that happens. It doesn't matter if it's the Blues or another fan.
I know. I love it, though. That's
why the Calgary guys jumped in.
Right, Kimby?
The guy that jumped in was he's been known to play that kind of game. You know, he's a physical hockey player, so he's, of course, he has to, or his plane ticket will be sitting right in the locker room if he doesn't. You know, the reason he's up there for.
I love how babyface Dunn is, and he's got an edge to him.
He does.
You know, like,
he's had an edge.
We've probably mentioned it on here before, but people should go Google Vince Dunn.
It was making its way around social media last night.
That's great.
But that's good, though. That's what hockey's about there. That's the way the game's played. So
let's stay on Vince Dunn for a minute. St. Louis Blues, obviously, you know, they have their captain in Pietrangelo. You know, for a while now, whether it was a lightning rod for, you know, what the hell's going on here, to holy shit, he's playing the best hockey of his career. They've had Bouwmeester. Colton Parayko, you know, is that just big, long, well-skated defenseman that we wish was more physical. So we talk about all these different guys, and we roll these guys in out, and then we go and trade for Falk, right? Here sits Vince Dunn, who I don't know about you, Kimby, but I love his game. I mean, is there, you know, let's go your thoughts on his overall game and how it plays into a long-term defenseman for the St. Louis Blues, and then I'll get coach's thoughts on it. I guess we're going to talk about the same thing we always do. It's going to wind up being in his own end versus what he does, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you get you're playing on a team where you got three players that are, you know, Petro, Parayko, and the new guy,
Falk.
They're going to take all the headlines. So he's sort of just a kid that's out there trying to find his own ice time, right? So you're playing with those guys. He gets power play duty, which you know, he showed that he can play there. He defensively is where his big thing's going to be. He's got to play it, and if he's strong there, that's a top four D that's pretty damn good. You know, you're not going to find any better in the league, I don't believe. And but he's got some gump in him. You know, he just. The shit that he does, the hit that he does last night, is unexpectedly coming through there. You don't know where that's coming from, and boom, it's there. So he's got that in his game, which is what the Blues really do need. They need that because they've been missing. They got rid of them all. You know, the Edmonds, they get rid of these guys, and they need someone to play that part of the ball game. I don't know. I think the fans are going to like him. He's got that little edge to him, you know. So I think he's around for a while.
I think he's got. So, because we're going to look at it a little critically and, you know, and then analyze his game a little bit. He's got to be more responsible. Not like in his own end, but specifically in front of the net. Mm-hmm. Like he gets caught with his toes pointed toward the goal line a lot, you know, and guys in the slot are behind him. Like, look at the goal the other night. He's standing right next to the guy, yeah. You know, but he's puck watching at that point. So he's got some adjustments to make. I don't think it's like, oh, he's a young guy. He's got to learn like that. You learn that when you're eight. He's just not concentrating on it. And so I think once he like tightens up that, and I think you'll see that. I mean, there's enough veteran presence on the Blues D-Core that, you know, they'll point to things like that. Yep. And because of all the video, he'll see that more and more. And I promise you, I think his defensive zone play will be better, especially like in the house, like we call it. But offensively, I love the way he is. And I think, you know, he's been compared to Shattenkirk. I don't think he's Shattenkirk. I don't. I think there's some definite characteristics that bind those two similar players, but I don't recall Shaddy having that edge.
Yeah, I'll tell you that there's a game there that's gone south, hasn't it? I tell you what, he's gone from top of the mountain. the fucking billy goats are kicking him all the way down right now.
Jesus.
I ain't trying to be an asshole, but holy smokes,
you ain't got to try.
Oh my.
Well, you're lucky your boy Ribs ain't here. That's his boy.
Is that his boy? Well, yeah, there was a time when I'll sit there and jump on the wagon with you, but right now ain't going to happen. I'll tell you what, that whole freaking Tampa Bay team, they better wake this hell up, where you might have another organization trying to play the Blues role and say, we're going to get rid of our coach and go on to win the Cup like the Toronto Maple Leafs did. You know?
They have to be talking about it.
I Coop's having a tough time there, you know, and especially when you get punted out in the playoffs like they did and the talent that they got in that locker room, oh, yeah, yeah, you know, something's wrong.
I wanted to ask you about
the
Babcock
dominated
thing.
That game.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
The Babcock thing. That's a interesting thing there. I mean, I had no idea. I don't follow stuff like that. Is he, like, not well-liked by certain people? Is he that hard-ass coach that rubs people the wrong way?
I think there's and I met the guy one time in the airport. He's from Saskatchewan. He's up by that area. He goes in the summertime where I used to play my junior hockey, and my friends, a bunch of my friends live up there that I go back and see. I met him once, but I wish Ribs was here today when you asked that question, because I know Ribs knows him a hell of a lot better than I do, but I look from a side, and understand me this, he's coached the World Cup team in Canada back in the day when they were the powerhouse. You know, no one's beating them. There's too much talent. I know it's getting the States and the juniors and that, and they're getting, the United States is getting better, and they're winning stuff. But he's always coached a good team. And he had the Detroit Red Wings when they were the dogs. You know, no one's touching that nonsense. He gets all the credit in Toronto, but look at the goddamn lineup they got. Look at the talent that's in that lineup without... They don't have any defense and a goaltender, but they got all those forwards that are, you know, the best forwards in the game right now.
But how the hell are you supposed to play without a goaltender and defense?
Well, that's not on him, I don't think. I think that's more on Shanny.
That's kind of where I was
going
with
this. That's on Shanny, that. But I think this guy, where the question, when you really go to it, I don't think he's well liked, and I think he's got an arrogance to him. And,
well, that was what I was.
And
really
I think and just by meeting him, it was there, and it's like. It's like when you're in a room.
He's the smartest guy.
And he's the smartest guy in the room. And no matter that you've played at the same level as him, he's going to try to convince you he's the smartest guy in the room. And he's very, really good at it. And he sells himself to be really good at it. And when you got a resume, you know, even though they're the best teams in the world that he's played on, you still got that resume that you got a cup, you got a World Juniors, you got you got a Stanley Cup, you got all this shit going on, man. So he'll find another gig, but I think the question is, do you learn from what's going on, or is your arrogance that high that you're never going to learn?
I guess what I was going to ask was, and
he's not a player's guy, I don't think.
Well, he hasn't really failed yet.
No.
This is the first time that he's,
I mean, has he failed? I'm going to play because, you know, this is what I like to do, and this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm just going
to
give you the other side of the argument.
Don't do the other thing.
Fucking Toronto. Fucking Toronto's not very good. Right, underachieving team. He goes up there and he takes them, and he completely turns around. Like, we're firing coaches now on teams that just have struggled, to now all of a sudden 100 points in bed, and because we start off a little slow.
But there
has to be more than that. There has to be more to this. Is where I'm going.
You went to
the expectations.
Chromes.
I get it.
You went to a team in the National Hockey League they're one of the guys. They're like the New York Yankees. They got all the fucking money in the world, and they're going to spend it. And you got these forwards, the Marner, Tavares, and Matthews, and Nylanders there, who I don't think is very good anyway. They got all the talent in the world. So their theory was they're going to try to win 8-7 is what they're trying to do right now because their defense is just shit. And they went out and get Tyson Barrie, who was supposed to help that out. He was having some problems with Babcock. The goaltending's always been, you know, they've always had trouble there. But it's just they're supposed to win. So there's one thing if you're going to sit in Anaheim or – and I'm just using them as an example. There's one thing if you're sitting out there – and you're losing games, but when you're in Toronto and you have all the money in the world and you know you're going to spend the money, you know, you're going to have talent. So it's not like he's sitting at the dog end of the, you know, and you come in those kind of coaches, and I'll refer him right now, and St. Louis fans will know this because they've had the guy. He's like Ken Hitchcock. Hitch is the same way. Hitch comes in, and Hitch demanded respect. It was going to be fucking Hitch's way or no way. And I'm not saying Hitch is just like him. I'm not saying Hitch has got that arrogance where he can't be talked to. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying he is the same mold. They coached on the same World Cup teams that they did. They got the sort of the same resume going. They've all won wherever they've been. But that's the way Hitch was. And Hitch is it's his way or no way. And Hitch had smart ass remarks to everybody. You know, when they said
most successful coaches have that a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just telling you what he is. I'm
playing for some good ones, right?
I'm just telling you how it is. That's right. You have to, if you're going to be a coach in the National Hockey League and you're coaching guys that are making $10 million, you're gonna have to have some kind of power to play the game with them. You know what I mean? You can't. You better be well known, or you better convince them that you're the top dog, or they ain't gonna buy into it. And that's what happened to Hitch here. That's why Hitch got fired. They finally said that's enough, and that's what happened up there.
So coaches didn't walk around the room, pat you on the ass, tell you it was gonna be okay when you played there.
No,
Hindu, that's not what we're doing up at McKendree. We're not patting guys on the butt and telling them it's okay.
It's a tough. You gotta pat them sometimes, though. You do have to.
Well,
yeah. And I'll tell you what, I'll be honest with you. When I was doing the job I was doing, if the coach wouldn't say nothing, would treat you like shit all the time, like it happened to me in Chicago with Daryl Sutter, because he's a piece of shit that I didn't like. But if a coach would pat you on the back once in a while and say, geez, that was a good job, it helps you out a lot more, you know? It gets your confidence going. I do believe that.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with patting guys on the back. I mean...
No. There's a difference between patting them on the back and patting them on the butt.
Well, absolutely, but here's my thing.
And that's what I was really getting at.
Right, but here's my thing. So if you're going to be hard on them, you have to equally praise
Correct.
Them.
Like,
Correct. You just can't be negative all the time, because then you become, instead of an ally, you become, you know, an enemy, and you become white noise. And then the more you bitch, the less they hear.
So if you want to, before you go anywhere else, but look at Ken Hitchcock. And we talked about this when Ken Hitchcock got canned here in St. Louis. Ken Hitchcock has a history, a longevity with any team that he ever went to. It don't get past 5 years because people get tired of his shit after. You know, I'm being harsh by saying what I'm saying, but players can only be sit there kicked in the head so many times, and then finally they're going to say, no, we've had enough, and they're going to quit playing for him. And they quit playing for Babcock. He's been there 5 years. It's not, you know, you just can't keep downgrading these people and getting results. You might be able to come in and kick him in the ass at the start. I'm not saying that, because if you're losing, now the players have just ran a coach off. You sort of have to buckle up as a player and say, okay, now I have to play for this guy, because I pretty well put my cards on the table. So here I go. So I have to play for him. But after a while, you know, there's a fine line in coaching, man. You either can be a hard ass, or you can be a wussy and get run over by the players. So there's a line that you got to sort of run there.
Before we go to the Patterson Tire and Service text line, as it's loaded up today, I had one more thing I wanted to ask you. So the fact that we're dealing with these injuries is something that we're all painfully aware of. But on the flip side, I mean, I guess they're never good, but you have no choice but to try to take the positive end out of it. The fact that some of these guys now are going to get these minutes, and the fact that some of these guys are going to play roles, and I hate to say this, but this is another thing Gary and I used to talk about for a long time. The fact that you can do all this and you have what is appearing to be, and can be, you said 20 games, right? We're a world-class goaltender at the back end. You can do this a little bit more, can you not?
I think so. And I think the injuries, you know, people in St. Louis, too, you go on a Stanley Cup run and you didn't have any. You know, that's pretty – they walked through the whole playoffs and really didn't come up with any damage or collateral where guys were missing a long period of time. So that's a bonus there. So now you come to a new year. You want to find out, was it just a hot goalie at one time? Was the coaches, you know, did he strike the right chord for a short period? But they're answering the bell again, the Blues. You know, they're at the top of the leaderboard. They're going through injuries now, which you're going to happen. It's, you know, some of these are just, you're getting to the point where you wake up the next morning and say, oh, shit, who's going to get hurt this time? You know, that's the phase they're in right now, and that's how it goes. You go through a part. But Ribs has sat on this show many times and said that how deep the Blues bench is, and I think it's showing how deep the Blues bench is. So, you know, you move Thomas, you get Sanford going, you got Costin up now playing, you know, and I'm not saying that line did well last night. So they got guys that are going in positions that are capable of filling holes, and that is huge as far as a management spot or a coaching spot on the bench, because if someone goes down, you know you have someone to replace them.
So here's, teams have had a lot of depth. There have been other teams that have had tons of depth, even with the Blues. The difference to me, and I don't think we can overstate it, I honestly think, those young men won a cup.
Yeah.
They're a pretty confident group. So one of the biggest things that Rives and Kimby say all the time is, you got to get this young kid in and get him some confidence. Get him some confidence. These guys already have it.
Yeah.
They already the Blues young players, the Blues inexperienced players at the NHL have confidence already, cuz they know they can walk in their locker and pull that ring out. And so they're a step ahead. And I think that's what I hope that's what we see going forward.
I lied. I'm going to hit one more thing before we hit the text line because you brought him up. Well, you brought him up. Well, you brought him up. Thoughts so far. It's only been a couple games, but thoughts so far on Costin, Kimby.
Well, I think he got he comes up and plays like 12 minutes, I think, the first game. And I believe on the Panger and them were saying he's down to 6 minutes now. He's on the fourth line playing. You know, he shows signs of it, but you're not going to get the true value of the kid. He's not a fourth line player, and I know Berube Chief likes to roll him. I'd like to see him when he's on the power play. That's where I'd like to see if he can get to. You know, obviously, you're not just going to get thrown on the Stanley Cup champion team up on the power play. Sure. They obviously won for a reason. They got that talent there already with Perron and them doing what they're doing. So, but he's capable of playing. I think where he's at right now, he's probably now that they got Brouwer signed here, he's going to come into the picture here right away. And one of those guys, Blaze is gone for 10 weeks, but he's probably the first guy ready to go down the ladder, down back to San Antonio, I think. And I'm not trying to be, I'm not saying he's a bad, but he's just the role he's playing. That's not his role.
Well, and it's like, is it like any other sport? Would you rather have him sitting in the press box all the time or playing and getting better?
And that's why they're doing it. It's hard to say if you don't get a friggin' chance, O'Kromes. You draft the kid, you know why you drafted the kid, you traded for him, you traded Reeves for the guy to get to him, right?
Right.
So you've done something. At what point do you put him in the,
live with it.
You got a Stanley Cup that gets to back your shit up right now, because you can get away with a lot of stuff because everyone has to believe what you're doing is right and you're having success with what you're doing. So people aren't going to argue on you right now, but Costin has to play in the top three lines. And probably, if he's not first power play, he better get to the second thing, because that's the only reason he needs to be on the team right now.
I think last night was an opportunity missed, honestly. I think last night when the Blues, that game was never in question. Like, the Blues were going to win that game, right?
Yeah, felt that way.
And then, why not in the third period throw him up there with 57 and see what happens? You know, like... Move him around and put him on those top two lines. Give him a shift here or there, but
the only thing with that, Gary, is I agree with you, because I can do it with my kids in high school, and you can get away with it at college. But you're dealing with
the guy on that line is going to go, what I do?
Yeah, but you got egos. You got egos that are protected.
Fuck that.
You know,
but it's the truth, right?
I can't say the F bomb,
right?
Yeah, you can.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong about that? The guy who takes his place is going to go, what I do?
Well, it doesn't matter what you do. Like, I mean, I know it's the pro athlete. I mean, I get so.
singing Kumbaya going, hey, take my shots.
I get so sick of hearing about that ego stuff.
I know, but
what he's doing, though, I totally agree with Gary, and but he can get away with it where he's at, and I can too. But there's an ego that you are trumping to. Look what the ego can do. The ego can shut the fucking motor down, and your coach can lose your job. It just happened in Toronto.
Yeah. So you
have to cater to the big dogs. I don't give a shit what you're doing there. You have to do that.
I just, you know, it's funny as we're talking about this, and I pull up because I, you know, you had said it, and I thought, well, I forgot. You know, we had a couple rough games there, but you know, we still sit here with only 4 regulation losses.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know,
look at 50s.
And we're 23 games in.
50s record.
Yeah, but look at
22 games.
But that's why look at all the confidence in the world when your goaltender's sitting there doing what he's doing, you know, and there's got to come. And maybe there doesn't have to come because Patrick Waugh and Marty Brodeur and Eddie Belfour and all these guys that were good goaltenders, and you know, they consistently come on the ice and did their job, but they had a team to play in front of them. So Bennington's got confidence. The players are confident. They got one of the best D's in the league, and the forwards are pulling their weight now too. So maybe this doesn't slow down for a while.
It'll be good.
You know what D pairing I liked last night was 72-19.
Yeah, they've been playing well.
Yeah.
Like, but
I think again, Falk's 72 last couple only, games have been better.
They have been. I mean, you know what I've said? He needs to shoot more. Yeah. He had one shot last night, and I can recall like 3 instances where, you know, he either missed a net or neglected to shoot. I don't know what that is because he's been a shooter his whole life. So I'd like to see him start peppering the net a little bit more. But I did like him with 19 last night.
Well, let's head in now to our Patterson Tire and Service text line. Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. Remember, you can give them a call at 618-797-6711 and get a quick quote on brakes, tires, things like that. But anything that you need done, they do automotive repair, general automotive repair, and can take care of anything. If that check engine light's on, get it over there now. Don't wait. But it's just a great local family that's owned that business for a long, long time and have helped out their community. And we're going to ask you to give it back to them and give them an opportunity for your business. One more time, that's 618-797-6711, located at 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois. Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. The text line has been great for the show, and it's just building momentum. And, you know, I love opening it up, whether it's an hour after I send out the thing or I walk in the morning and it's just full. Can't even look at and read them all. But we've covered some of these already just in generality. Some people thought, like a gentleman brought up, the auditioning for 18, about 10 games in and stuff like that. But, Gary, before we get into some real stuff, you know, we get this every time. Somebody wanting to know when you're going to pay your debt to the fans.
Well, you know,
I wasn't here for this last. There was had something to do with cream spinach.
You were here?
I don't think I was here on that episode. No,
you
I think,
weren't.
I think I was a scratch.
I don't know about that.
Pretty sure.
The thing that I said they wouldn't hit the playoffs, remember? And Riv said, let's bet $1,000. And then somebody, I was like, okay. And then somebody was like, no, let's make him.
Yeah, no, that wasn't me.
Riv said, let's make him eat something. And it was raw, cream spinach and cinnamon.
Oh, what? Where did, okay.
Because he said, what do you hate?
Okay.
Where was I when that was going on?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Probably at the bar.
No.
Working
a real job. I am a worker.
So when are we going to do this?
I don't care.
You're really going to do it?
Yeah, I'll do it. I'm going to puke, but I'll do it.
$1,000?
No.
No.
I ain't giving you no money.
All right, but you are going
to
do it.
I lost the bet. I have to. Like, that's either I don't have a choice. It's just like whenever you guys have it set up, I'll come in and eat it.
Okay.
I'm going to puke, but I'm going to do it.
All right. So
I'm not going to welch on a bed.
It's going to get done. Here's the problem.
What's that show on TV? They do that. They eat that
Girls Gone Wild?
No. Grills. Grills, I said. I forget what that guy's name is.
Well, okay. So I can officially eliminate the 30 texts I get all the time wondering when you're going to do this.
I told you.
This is crazy.
Somebody drove up to me on the golf course and said it. When are you going to eat that spinach? I'm like... Well, obviously not right now. I'm trying to hit this wedge.
let's go a little bit deeper here into something that you've mentioned today. Mike from Las Vegas wants you to explain what it is that makes the defense so suffocating. Like you've said, they've had one of, like you just said it a minute ago, that they've got one of the best defensive groups in the league. Well, what is it? Is it the experience? Is it the size? Is it like what is it?
They're playing a game right now, but it's the forwards are helping them big time in their own zone, and you got a center crew that's coming back. That's why they won the Stanley Cup. They were playing five. It was a five-man D crew, and then they went the other way. But you got when you're sitting there with Petro, and when Bouwmeester, you know, he struggled last year at the first three quarters of the season. Then he played like he can play, like the guy that played on the Team Canada's team. And when he started doing that. And Parayko, same thing. Parayko, once he come out of his little shell, and when he plays the way he's supposed to play, you know, you just that there's no better team, there's no better D in the league than when you got sitting there. So it's not just a defense. The forwards come back, they help out, and they move the puck, and it all starts. And you'll hear, you know, and I keep going back to Rivs, but when you listen to Rivs talk on here, and it's the way I'm trying to get my AAA team playing hockey and my high school team hockey, it all starts with puck pressure. And, you know, you got to get puck pressure on the puck. And then when you're putting puck pressure on, the first guy's on the play, and then the second guy's reading his man, the third guy's reading his. And even if they still break out, you still are back checking through the middle, and you're coming at it like 100 mile an hour. And when everyone's doing their part, it's a hard outfit to break.
Would the
they're fast. And they're long.
Mm-hmm. That was where I was going with the size. It wasn't like, you know, they're
no,
just big.
No, right. They're
yeah,
fast
they're,
and they're
that's
long.
That's what I've noticed.
Kimby obviously is 100% correct. I mean, the forwards are helping. And when they're in the zone, it's not just the pressure at the puck. It's the pressure away from the puck. The Blues forwards have done a really good job of taking away opportunity and options. One of the ways is they take away the other team's D a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And so when you don't have guys like with their heels toward the blue line, and you got guys who are actively engaged in defending lanes and defending passes and being in shot and passing lanes, like we're saying, and then you have speed and size at D, that's a good formula. That's a winning formula.
And you're playing – and you score. And I know they have the stat – out there, but puck possession is a big thing. And if you're always with the puck, that's why the Detroit Red Wings are so good. They're always with the puck, and their defense are always. It's like a five man unit, just moving up and down the ice. And it's that's what the Blues are doing. They're just moving up and down the ice. They're forcing here. They're back and they're going again. But they're not spending much time in their zone. You know, they got caught a couple times that we talked about with Thomas and that. But for the most part, very few are you sitting in your zone very long.
Got some people, quite a few people really interested in Troy Brouwer, a couple different things. A lot of them is where do you see him fitting? I know that you barely touched on it a little bit, like wanting to see where he goes when he comes in the lineup and how it affects a guy like Costin. When guys, you know, Father Time's undefeated, so we all like Troy Brouwer, and he did some really, like, great things. He was the kind of guy that I would have liked to have seen the Blues keep. Whether it worked out in Calgary or not, we've talked about that being a place maybe where some guys go to die. But the truth of the matter is, he was a nice player for the Blues after they traded for him. Didn't stay. He could add some grit to this team, of course, because he likes to play that way. Whether or not he can skate well enough with this group,
I think he'll be there skating wise.
Okay. On a fourth line, or
that's
is he
where
a third
that's where
line
he's
guy?
Gonna, he's gonna, he, you know, if Sammy was still here, he's not going ahead of Sammy. You're not gonna play there. He's gonna sit down on the fourth line, and he's gonna probably truck in and probably 6 minutes a game is what he's gonna get. And he's a guy though that could sit there, and if someone went down in a game on the top two line, he could fill in.
Well,
that
was what I was gonna
temporarily. He's not gonna stay there on a permanent basis.
So. The one thing that Rivs has said numerous times on the show, and I've heard him repeat it other places as well, is that the one thing in, you know, people, especially in this room, have taken, had a bath with Alexander Steen, had enough of him at times, but he did offer you, when he went down and played on the lower lines, the ability to come up for a few games and fill that in. Similar. So you see Brouwer filling more of that Alexander Steen role.
Similar, yes.
Yeah.
And then down the road, when Steen gets back and they're back to a full core, But then there, you know, he's gonna be out of the lineup, and but then there's gonna be a leadership process that he's gonna have to go sure. through, and you know, because he's gonna be an elder statesman around the outfit. But it's hard to come in. He was a leader when he was here before, but now you got a team that went off and won a Stanley Cup, so there's a different animal running in the room. So he's sort of got to be he doesn't have to be the leader, but he's got to be a secondary. You know, he's got to be the second line of defense coming to the process.
Well, his name's on the cup though, so
yeah, he's been there before.
Yeah,
and I thought one of the best things about Brouwer is I thought he had an incredibly good interview last night.
Yeah, it was good.
Incredibly good interview. I'm just saying.
I saw that on there. I don't know what you... I think there's
all
more,
kinds
there's
of people that could have an incredibly good interview.
There's more to that interview that he's talking
what
about.
What are you talking about?
Shit.
I'm just talking about... I thought he was well-spoken.
Yeah.
I don't even know what he said.
I think his concentration level is
I thought he was really engaging. I thought... That he articulated what his role might be very well.
Titulated?
Articulated.
Titulated or
articulated? I didn't
titulated.
Say anything. Diculated. I said articulated.
I don't know how.
Articulated.
How are you supposed to do an interview with those staring at you?
What are you even talking about?
What did you just do?
He was warm. He was open.
Yeah, warm, open. Out there.
He put himself out there.
Yeah. He took it out. So... so yeah, hey, thank you to Alex Hall for his question. And following up on that, we had quite a few of these, and I'm not going to be this would be a perfect Rivs question, as I'm sure he would have more of an official, but I know what I was told, and that was Troy Brouwer did not play last night. He was supposed to play, but did not play due to a work visa issue, which
immigration papers,
maybe
that was part of the interview.
I didn't hear a word they said.
When the process goes on with that, though, so he gets a 10-day tryout, so he'll go to immigration's and they'll have to file it for 10 days. You're allowed to be in the country for 10 days. And
you know some shit about immigration.
Well, I had to go through it myself. So there's a date. So when you – most players
– Really?
That are in Canada and they're coming down here, there's a – if you have a 3-year contract, the visa will be – put for 3 years, and at that time when your contract is done, so it's done, so you're on a 10-day contract, or he's down on a personal tryout was what he was, so that allows you 10 days. All you get is 10 days to come into that process and then if they sign the contract, then they're gonna have to refile another visa and give it
I'm
to his contract.
Well versed in the immigration.
See, up in Canada they probably have to start building the wall soon, but they haven't started yet, but you know, they're building it on the other border, if you haven't realized that yet.
They I'm well versed. I mean, with you know, I only have 5 Americans on my team. All right. So, but yeah, like my guys are here on like student visa.
Okay, Vladimir Tretiak.
But they have to go, like every 11 months, yeah. They have to go back.
Do they really?
And they have to stay in their home.
Huh?
Or home country.
But it's what he says, but because college will be different. But
yeah,
you're in an NHL, yeah. you're signing a 3-year contract, so your visa will last for the 3 years.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and then don't you have like 30 days to return home after that or something? They give you a little bit.
Once it runs out, but that's like...
They give you a little bit of time.
It's just like immigration. Anyone else that comes in the country, you know, they give you a certain... You can come visit the country, but you're only allowed to be there for a certain period of time, and then you got to get out the door.
Well, we got to vet Troy. We wouldn't want him to blow anything up.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff. I had no. I thought we were going to get a yeah. I'm sure it was a work visa. I didn't realize we were going to get a diatribe on immigration law. That's great.
That was awesome.
Just the facts, ma'am.
Just the facts. A shout out to Kevin and Hannibal. Thank you for the nice comments on our text line.
Hannibal.
Hannibal. Wow. Good stuff. Hey, and listen. Here's the deal. We have a question from Hawaii again. And I'm not even going to get to his question yet. My question for you is, what are you doing? Get on the beach, man. Get on the beach.
Man, he's still Hawaiian Blues fan.
Hey, even though we're sustaining injuries, do you think the identity of the team remains untouched? Thanks. Okay, so we've talked a lot about the injuries today. So I think this is a neat question, only because we've talked about injuries and opportunity. But does it change the way you play the game? So I guess where I'm going with this is when you have certain players, Kimby, that play, let's face it, certain players are better at certain things. Are the Blues having success because they can plug guys right in and they assume those roles? Or do guys come in and then you play a different style and then it just kind of changes?
No, I think with the Blues and then the success they had in their playoff run was you had 4 lines playing the same type of hockey and there was going up and down doing their roles. Obviously, when you play in that role, Tarasenko and these guys are more gifted goal scorers, that they're, so they're going to be able to give you more. But the success of the team was everyone playing the same way. So you could roll four lines and it was go boom, boom, and everyone, you could put anyone anywhere when that's going on. When everyone's in sync like the Blues were last year, like they're you weren't getting out of sync. You could put someone here, someone there, but and the lines fit better when they get going. Like when you put Steen down and he had so much success at the fourth line, but they're all still playing the same way. So you could take him and put him on the second line. Now you're not going to get the guy that can score the goal in that position, but you're still going to get a guy that's going to produce in the same way the system is being played. So it all comes down to system. And if everyone's playing the same system, some guys are going to score because they are given their God-gift talent that they have. And some guys are going to be a mucker, but he can still play that role, but he might not be able to finish on certain situations.
I think there are more teams that are successful if they take on the personality of a successful coach. You know what I mean? Like, if that's their identity. Because right now, the Blues' identity on the ice is Craig Berube's identity. Like, that's, you know what I mean? That hard-working, grinding style, that tough, heavy style that he played. And so, when everybody buys in on that identity, that tends to lead to success. Now, not every team has had, you know, the identity of their coach. Like, when Dallas Stars won, when Hulley won, Hitchcock was a coach, but I wouldn't necessarily say that the Dallas Stars were the, you know what I mean? Like, their identity wasn't Hitchcock.
No.
Their identity was, like, the four lines of All-Stars they had. And
playing the right
and,
way, though.
You know, right, absolutely. But they also took on the identity. Those guys had a common identity. They were all superstars. This team has a common identity, and it's their coach. And I think when that's in play and there's a huge buy-in with the team, you're going to see success. And that's what the Blues are doing.
Now that he said that word, too, the team that I picked – now I picked the one, and they're not doing shit. Tampa Bay, but the Dallas Stars are playing some pretty good hockey. Yeah, they're on their way, and they're starting to play better hockey. It'll be interesting when the Blues get to them. I don't know when they see them in their schedule again, but it'll be interesting with the Blues coming up when they're playing Nashville. You know, the Blues went through a little. You know, the three games. Not that they you know they're losing in a shootout, so it's basically a tie that you're getting. But you win two games. They're playing good hockey, and you like to see them come up against teams that are playing, like they went into Edmonton, they played well. I like, Calgary's not really on the top of my radar for a team that's going to go a long way in the playoffs, so I dismiss that.
Yeah, they haven't really lived up to.
Tampa Bay's struggling, so you know, you win, but still, you have to win those games, you know, because those teams, a team like Tampa Bay should be fighting to get out of what they're trying to get, so they should be even working harder, but you know, I'd like to see the Blues get into with Dallas right now, because they're going to fare well. They're just playing well, man. It's nice to see teams play well.
One last question from our Patterson Tire and Service text line. We've talked about this a little bit. I don't know if we've ever gotten confirmation. I think we have on Kostin, but with these injuries, as younger guys get more and more opportunities, like we assume the next guy up is probably Kyrou, and things like that. The eligibility, everybody's really concerned, and Josh McCombs brought it up again, the loophole that has to do with the expansion draft that's coming up. I believe we're at the juncture now where second-year players are not eligible to be taken. And that would make, like, if you play this year, if this is your first year, next year you'd be a second-year player, you're not eligible to be taken. Is that, have we confirmed this?
No.
And you have no, like...
See, I was on the...
Hey, listen, you're not in front of a congressional hearing here, Kim. You don't have to be so soft around the edges with it.
I don't know, and I'm gonna get into this shit because I got to read it so I know what the hell I'm talking about. But I know in the past, if you were under 3 years, so you had... Cause you, when players come in now, they can only sign up to 3 years, like even the big-time
guys. Entry-level contract.
Yeah, so you get to 3 years. I don't believe any of them can be touched. And so I think that's where the cutoff is. Now, you never know because when they come up with a new system, because Vegas had so much success, and I don't know. I hear they're following the same guidelines. So but I'd have to get into that because I don't you know. Where's Kostin at? Is he on his third year right now? Or has he been here? Is this his third year of his contract?
I don't know that. What I do know is, like I said, the only thing I've seen associated more than anything with this is the second-year player is not eligible to be taken in the draft.
That's what I thought.
That's what I saw. See, this is the hard. These are the hard-hitting questions that Jamie Rivers handles for us. And when he's not here,
hitting question. You know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to probably text him on his new show there, and maybe he'll answer it on there, and then we can bring it back to here. What do you think of that?
Hold your phone up and
maybe
record
we need to get him his own text line.
Because I see the guy at the rink, and he don't even know who I am anymore.
Oh,
so
man, that's sad.
Hey, what if we get him his own line and let people text him directly, and we'll call it the Al Bundy?
Yeah.
Did you am I right in that Brouwer signed a two-way deal?
Two-way deal, yeah. So, well, and that's rightfully so, though, too, because he's going to make $750,000
on
the top end of it, but I'm pretty sure the bottom end salary is probably going to be like $250,000, $200,000, or whatever to go play down the. But you got to protect yourself because when Tarasenko gets, you know, and that might be too. Tarasenko's sort of out of the ball game because once you get to that late in the season, your roster expands. So that's not going to affect him as much. But
it's
more of a
salary cap thing.
Yeah, but when Sammy comes,
if you were to put him out.
But not only that, but you get Sammy coming back and you get and Steen comes back. So there's two spots that are probably going to fill up. So now they got Brouwer, who they could probably say, okay, we're going to send you down to the minors now because we can't keep you on tab here.
Makes sense. You know, of the three injuries, the Blaze one has me more bummed. It's not like I'm not bummed about the other two, but
well,
Sam, the nine was playing so well.
Well, I think
and like really looked like he was coming
really
into
well.
So it I would, like he's coming into his own and everything, and then
because that's the bummer part of it, right?
Yeah,
plus,
that's what
the
I'm
truth
saying.
Is, you know, when you have injuries to guys like Steen and Tarasenko, I let's face it, I think it's much more realistic for Sammy Blay to cover the role that Steen covered, right? And then some. I think he was doing that. I think that's what you're getting at.
What I'm saying is that young man was not filling a role that was vacated by somebody else. He was
asserting himself
as an NHL star.
Well,
like he is.
And here's the thing
good.
Too. And I talk about this in all things. It's one thing for a guy to be good at something, and then you can try to place it. But he brought a full game, I thought, to the team. It wasn't. Yeah. You were liking the offense you were getting out of him a little bit, even though he kind of slowed down a little bit. But the reality of it was, he could play that full length of the ice and gave you a little bit of something that we talk about at length here that we feel like we're a little light on.
Yep.
Right.
We mentioned him last year as somebody we like, and he's shown this and he's shown that and glimpses here and there and then maturing as a player. I think this year,
He's been one of your bright spots.
Absolutely. You know, I think he's been one of your best three.
You can talk like Perron's pretty well been there for the majority, scoring big goals in that, you know. But I think Sammy's got to be in the ballpark.
Absolutely.
You know, and it was a question that I think he has after the offseason, the short offseason they had, and to step into where he is, I think he's the cat's meow, man.
Well, as we leave, the cat's meow. Meow,
right,
meow, 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 meow. I mean, Kimmy's going to break into a smelly cat rendition from Friends over here.
Stop.
Hey, stop it. Hey, as we leave the Patterson Tire and Service text line, one last comment to Henson asking him to sweet-talk the Recplex and letting Scott Hockey return. Not really a question, but it's worth a shot. I'm assuming you know this person and they're asking for some help.
I don't know this person, but I will mention it like I do everything else.
On it. I said my reply was Hindus on it. So anyway, you know, here's the deal. I love the Patterson family. I appreciate them doing that. All the fans out there that have taken advantage of our text line, pouring through it. As I tell you all the time, if we don't mention your text, please don't be offended. Just keep them coming. Sooner or later, my hope is that just through the process of grabbing them and talking about things that are relevant and really more than anything, trying to take, as you can imagine, you get 10 or 15 texts really about the same thing sometimes because it's popular, and we just try to culminate it into one that maybe put the question to us or whatever. But we appreciate everybody doing it, so keep them coming. And we do want to thank the Patterson Tire and Service crew down there one more time. A whole lot more than a tire store. Give them a call, 618-797-6711. Also located in Granite City, Illinois, 3718 Highway 111. General automotive repair, of course. Anything that you need done, tires, brakes. Go in there and have a cup of coffee with Brian or Kevin. They can do that for sure, can they not?
Yeah.
That they can do for sure.
Yeah, say hi to Lonzo.
Lonzo. Hey, my man Lonzo used to get it done.
He still does.
I know. Picking up tires, carrying, you know.
He's the man.
Hey, listen, here's the deal. Great family. We appreciate their support. They've done a ton for their own community and the surrounding areas for sure. And all we're asking you now is to give them an opportunity for your business. One more time, that's 618-797-6711, Patterson Tire and Service. Well, that's going to do it for us today. I want to thank Kimby for coming in, Coach Henson. It's been a great show. you know, as we were at that 20-game mark, Kimby, I think, especially with these injuries, and it, so it's kind of detracted us from really taking a hard look at where they're at, because I know you were hoping to take a look at the team as a whole. But, I, you know, let's get through this weekend and then maybe next week let you take an up-and-down look and say, you know, I thought we'd be here. This is where we're at. Maybe give us some thoughts on the overall, because really by next week, you know, you're going to be way more than you're not way more. You're going to be much more than 20 games in. And some of these guys that have had to fill these roles are going to kind of have asserted themselves in these roles for a couple of weeks. So
I think the biggest one going on that, though, is your goaltender. And I was going to be curious if he was going to come out and how he was going to react after going off on a hot run and winning the Stanley Cup. And he has answered every bell that there's been thrown out there. So, you know, kudos to him. But yeah, I agree. And it'd be nice to get Rivs here to do that. You know, if we can get him in here and do that, because that'd be good.
Did you see 50's interview with Pang last night?
Yeah.
I love that.
I love
guy.
That quote on Panger. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah,
man.
But man, I love how much of a smartass 50 is. Did you see it?
You got to be that way, man.
I didn't.
You got to be that way.
He said, so Pang says something to the effect of, hey, you know, how'd you like those jerseys or whatever with the retro look with the pads and stuff? Looked pretty good. And he goes, a lot better than you look in that jacket.
I like Panger wearing that coat, though. He looked pretty sharp, I thought.
He caught Panger off guard.
Got to go, gentlemen. I got to get going.
I know you got to go. Hey, listen, we want to thank everybody for joining us. Don't forget, check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Subscribe to the show. Appreciate you all doing that. Check us out on social media, at STL Blues Podcast. Find us at Facebook, Blues NHL Podcast. Happy to have you guys follow us on Instagram as well, at Blues NHL Podcast. LineupMediaGroup.fm, thank you for all your continued support of our show. Make sure you guys have downloaded Yo Radio for your mobile devices. It's a streaming platform that you guys are really going to enjoy. To all of our partners, we couldn't do this show without you. We always thank SynergyHockeySkills.com. Make sure you check it out with holidays coming around. Rivs has got a lot of great camps and lessons and things like that, and stocking stuffers, things like that, and we know that the kids love it. So that's SynergyHockeySkills.com. To the Nelson family, we couldn't do this show without you guys either. NelsonLandServices.com, 5-star locally rated company with reasonable prices. To the best barbecue in St. Louis, Adam's Smokehouse. Folks, it's that time of year where you just want to go in there, sit down, have some barbecue, and take it on home. And let me tell you, you're not going to go wrong with anything you order. Whether you order the left side of the menu or the right side, you're going to enjoy it. Located on Watson Road, open until 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Once you get in there, you're gonna smell that smoke. You're going to catch that atmosphere. You guys are going to just absolutely love it. If you got business opportunities, you guys can, they do the box lunch orders for you. If you need catering done, they can take care of that. They deliver to certain zip codes. But in the end, Mike and his staff do a tremendous job, and that's Adam's Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. Can't thank Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com enough for all he does for the show. He's been with us for a while now, and he continues to support us, and he loves sports in St. Louis, especially the Blues. You know, he loves that style. He's exactly what you would think. It's what makes Blues fans so special, that just blue-collar approach, and that's who Randy Green is. 35 years experienced second-generation craftsman that takes pride in what he does, and if he puts his name on it, you know, he's serious about it, folks. Residential, commercial, industrial, he's got you covered. Construction team, heating and cooling team, and electric team, ready to take on any challenge that you may have. That's Randy Green and his wonderful daughter, Stephanie, with InnovativeCompanies.com. To the Patterson family, the text line, like I mentioned earlier, it's been an awesome addition to our show, and we thank them for their continued support as well. That's Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. Want to thank all of our fans, too. You guys have really taken the show to another level. We're experiencing, you know, and listen, we're no different than anybody else. You know, you have that, you know, you have that that Stanley Cup run, and everything associated with Blues just seems to all just grow. And I tell you what, man, we're just overwhelmed by the comments and thoughts and all the stuff. And like I said, social media was a great way for people to communicate with us kind of behind the scenes. For some reason, I've said this forever. I don't know why, but people hate to put their name on stuff and hate to put it out in the open. And I know people are always nervous about, you know, putting it out there a little bit. And it just seems like people don't want to get caught in something. But man, all the stuff and all the tremendous amount of comments that we get from people on the text line, not even questions or comments, just loving the show. And it really is a testament to guys like Kimby and Rivs that take time out of their day and share some of their just, let's face it, guys, they've been in the game for a long time, played it at the highest level, and for them to come in and share their honest opinions. And I think that's a big part of why everybody loves Kimby and Rivs. And then obviously Coach Henson gets to take a fan's perspective and add in the fact that he's made it into a career. So enjoying doing the show with these guys. It affords me the opportunity to just have a lot of fun and, you know, not be so serious about it, because in the end, I'm none of those three guys, and it just allows me to be a fan like you guys. And you know, sometimes ask silly questions. So it's great. To all you guys out there, we thank you so much. We're the Blues NHL Podcast. Let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.